Okay, you're on.
Now, what'll it take? Picture as well as?
Yep, it takes everything.
Okay.
So. You're on the spot.
Well, I got nothing to say.
Well, I don't want to tell you what to say. Why don't you, why don't you give a quick summary of what you've done over your, you know, like, what your name is, where you were born, what year you were born, who your mom and dad were, all the way up the line here, and kind of a synopsis of what you did with your life.
The loan I was born, I think it was in 1902, May 20th. And it was in Poinette.
You were born in Poinette, Wisconsin? How about that?
Not sure about that. But anyway, I came to Beloit in about 1906 when I was 4 years old. My parents, of course.
Who were your parents?
W.J. Dogan. W.J. Dogan. Maybe you know him.
That's what he became later in life.
Eunice Trevor Dogan.
Where were they from?
Northern Wisconsin. I think she came over from England when she was about 6 months old. And I don't know. I have much to say, and I don't know how to say it. School out here, country school, staying out of here.
What school did you go to here?
Oh, little country school.
Where was it at?
Here down in the township.
Where was the location? It was right on the Colley Road here?
Colley Road.
What property? What property was it on?
It was on its own property, but
Where would the property be now?
Acre off of the original Dogan farm. My father's
down by the Round Barn or somewhere.
And
so you're, how many, he had what? How many brothers and sisters?
Who had one brother? Sister, I don't think I had a sister. Any rate,
you went to country school, one-room country school?
Yeah.
For how many years?
I graduated at the...
Eighth grade, or?
Eighth grade.
And you went where?
Went to high school.
Beloit High?
Yeah.
Memorial High?
Memorial High. Yeah. I remember the first day of going to that school, high school. Walking up the lawn, past the front door, worrying about what'll happen to a little country boy in the big city school. Remember that day well. Had an eventful time in high school. I was a very small chap.
You mean small in stature?
That was small in stature.
You picked on, did you, or anything?
Oh, well, whenever they wanted a shrimp in the play, I was a shrimp, and whenever a shrimp was married to a woman, picked the tallest girl in high school, so that was humiliating to me. Tim. And school. I didn't do any more remarkable in high school. I did do one thing that got me a little notice. After we heard a speech by some visiting dignitary, school offered a $10 prize to anybody that wrote the best report on the speech. Fortunately, I had listened to the speech very carefully.
You get the $10.
I got the $10.
That was the beginning of your writing career.
No, it was the beginning of anything. Made me a little proud of myself. The girl in my class that's tied with me, and so we both won the county prize. 40 years later, I met that girl again up in North Wisconsin. We both remember that day. Oh, I wish you could shut this off from time to time.
Well, I can. I can shut it off any time. I can edit it out, too, so... Well, don't be concerned about it. Just pretend it isn't there. So when you were a small lad, like up until you started school, what did you do? Did you work around the farm then, or?
Oh, I must have. Seems to me I had a cow that milk. Name was Daisy. I remember the spots on her tits. I remember sitting under that cow and watching the sparrows playing around outside the door. I wish I had the freedom of a sparrow. I didn't have to fiddle around trying to know you.
That was when you were a young lad.
Pretty. Oh, I've always milked. Not so much as late years. Been working for me, busy milking machine. So as I say, I don't have much to say. I've just been fortunate in having these fall into my lap, or I pick up something and make something of it. For instance, I got an offer of a job in France when I was a junior in high school in college. It's much like care jobs now and so forth. And I would pay $75 a month in France, American dollars. Good exchange there. And I was paying the equivalent of $15 a month for board and room.
So you're making big money.
So I'm making big money. Not far from Paris where I was working, in the village. So I would go into Paris about 3 weeks over the weekend. American dollars, exchanging them, I was able to stay overnight, have meals, go to a show in Paris for about $5. Good fare back and forth.
You took the train? Remember the village you stayed in, or?
Oh, yes. Château Thierry. Famous in World War I, I guess it was. As the farthest the Germans were able to get into France before they were thrown back.
Well, how did you happen to make it to France in the first time, in the first place? You went to college after you got out of high school here?
Yeah, I went to college.
How'd you happen to decide to go to college?
Oh, well, I was just in the breaking up I had. My mother was graduated from Lawrence College.
You who? You what?
My mother.
Your mother went to college?
Oh, yeah.
At what time? When you were in high school?
No.
Was a college graduate.
She was a graduate from Lawrence College.
Okay.
And my father had gone to University of Wisconsin. He was growing up. Well, that wasn't so unusual, but having a woman go to college in those years was...
What did your mother major in?
Probably what it was.
And your father majored in what?
Oh, I don't know.
Dairy science, agriculture?
Probably not.
He was a preacher. How did he become to be a preacher?
Well, it's what God was leading him. He thought that was what thoroughly that man's life was governed by the Lord. Thought he was called into the ministry.
That was before he had a family?
Well, yes, amen. And he was losing his hearing in those early years. I meant early years, when his early 30s. But he had a long history of getting his education, getting his training in Bible ministry. He was a preacher for 12 years.
Before he got married?
While he was married. And, here we are. He was losing his hearing during that time. He had a couple of years that he thought that the Lord had forsaken him. He'd been led to get a theological education, prepare for the ministry. And then had this loss of hearing visited on him. He had a couple of very bad years.
How old were you when he was started going deaf?
Oh, I never knew him when he wasn't.
Oh, I see.
But in those early years, when I was growing up, you could make him hear by shouting in his ear. Close. But...
Did he have an ear horn or one of those horns yet?
But he had nothing. Finally, we all had to write to him. Well, that was good for us. We had to write. Got a book here.
Yeah.
Father. And there he is, you see. And all sorts of things here.
Those are his writings?
Yeah, his letters.
Somebody's edited them,
huh? Huh?
Jackie's edited them?
Yeah, it's edited by Jacqueline Dogan Jackman. Being the letters from Doug West and Joseph Dogan to his sons Ronald and Trevor from the Lazarus College, containing other WJD documents and letters, as well as epistles from Eunice Trevor Dogan, who was my mother. That is interesting reading.
Probably a lot of stuff in there, yeah. What? A lot of stuff in there. You guys were milking cows down here in the farm then when you were in high school? Did you have a dairy then?
Oh, yeah.
When did he start the dairy?
Well, about 6 months after he got on the farm.
And you were how old?
I was about four, I suppose. I see. Started out with
speak up just a little bit, Ryan. Can you make
a little
louder in volume? I don't know how good this thing's picking it up.
Picked up that cough anyway.
Yeah. So how'd you get from high school to college?
Well, I just assumed that I was going to college.
Because your family did.
There was nothing else.
How come you didn't pick the University of Wisconsin?
Well, let's see, I got a little independent in that respect. Methodist minister son here at Boyd was a senior at college at Northwestern, Evanston. And I was staying out a year between high school and college, trying to get a little growth, I guess. I got to know him, and we had a couple of double dates. Persuaded me that Northwestern was the place to go.
That was a given.
And I never have understood how my father, Ronald Duggan, delighted to hear from you. Out and fix up lobster out of her front door.
Nice life, huh?
The tide's down right now and she wants to rush out and see.
Find a couple. Yeah.
She said chirpy.
Sparrow. I opened the windows a little bit.
Certainly got a lot of nerve.
How's that?
Sparrow.
There you go. You were telling me that drives the cats wild, huh? You were telling me that your friend, when you were after you got out of high school, didn't work for a year. So you worked around the farm for a year?
Sure.
With your dad.
Yeah.
How many employees did you have at the dairy then? Quite a few or not? Was it a big deal then?
Quite a few.
Yeah. So you had plenty to do?
Yeah. Well, I had a little hard luck that my first day of working on the farm. I was given the title of assistant herdsman. And our day started about 4 o'clock, 4:30, and we worked till 6:30, and then came at the house and had breakfast, big breakfast. Then back and worked in the bar until about noon. Anyway, it was a long day, but I was awfully ambitious about being her assistant and herdsman.
You thought it was going to be your big career?
Yeah. So I rushed out after breakfast, and first one back at the barn after breakfast. Went up in the hay mow and tugged a little hay out of the tie mow, threw it on top of a down chute. Didn't go down, I threw another small forkful of hay on top of the chute, and it didn't go down. So I went out and jumped on it. Then we all went down. I dragged up 30 feet on my heels. Both heels.
So you laid up the rest of the summer?
Yeah. And I've still got bumps on my heels. Yeah. Like I said, I have a branch and curl my feet around it. You can believe that or not, if you please.
So what'd you do that summer then?
Oh, I remember.
You read a lot.
Oh, sure. But I can remember landing down there in front of the cows. Oh, it wasn't that, probably 20 feet, but it was a long fall. I lit down there on my heels, and then I couldn't get up, and I crawled around. I remember how the cows all jumped backward when I appeared in front of them suddenly, you know. Crawled around in front of them crying. I don't remember much about that summer, except it was pretty well absorbed.
Did you spend the summer there on the farm then, or did you go somewhere? Did you go to the lake or someplace like that?
With my bad heels.
Yeah.
Oh, I stayed at the farm.
Yeah. So then that fall you went to Northwestern. You spend the whole year at home.
I don't know whether that was last fall I went to Northwestern or not. I remember how I met a man on the train when I was going. Well, I decided I wanted to go to Northwestern because I met a man and a boy in Boyd that was at Northwestern. And senior down there, he persuaded me that Northwestern was a place to go, and why my folks went along with that I'll never know, but they did. And I remember arriving at Evanston, standing behind a great tall man in the bus that took us out to Chicago to Northwestern. Evanston. And he seemed to know that I was going to go to school at Northwestern. He said that he had a son that was at Northwestern. I should look up his son when I got there. He told me where he found it, some Evanston Inn or something like that, where he was working nights. Pay his way. Well, I got over to the Evanston Inn and stayed up all night with a guy. And then he took me out to school and entertained me in his fraternity house. And very soon, I didn't know what was going on. But they got me in a little room and wanted to pledge me. And I was so green and so delighted, I didn't realize what was going on. So I turned them down. And I remember how crestfallen I was when I realized that I turned this offer of membership in. So a bunch of boys I had liked them, had met them when I came to the house. And this kind of spray, my family was going to be there to Northwest in the first place. I didn't want to do anything rash, that maybe they'd open the bid again. Although they told me that they never did open a bid again. So I went to another fraternity house or two. And this original fraternity, Delta Upsilon, suggested maybe I'd change my mind. Well, I had changed my mind.
So you went back to the same one?
Back to the same one.
So what did you major in? What did you major in down there at Northwestern?
I have no idea. I think probably chemistry. I didn't have any major, really. Quite early in my junior year, I had a suggestion that I go to France to work for an outfit similar to CARE. Now, I guess similar to CARE, but they had a made-over hotel. It was a Hotel Elephant, the village of Chateau. And they had employees, a French girl and an English girl, and a couple of men, and I fit into that arrangement. And I found out that was fine. I said, just a nice mention that says, you're going to Paris and spend the day and overnight night.
So how long did you work there? A whole year?
Yeah, well, a little over a year. And I met my girl that became my wife there. She came over too.
She worked there?
Yeah. A bit later than I, she came over about 2 months later than I was there. So when my contract ran out with them, and she was still working there, we were married at that time.
You got married sometime during that year?
Yeah.
When did you get married? When did you get married?
Oh, I forgot the date. I should remember that, shouldn't I? 4th of April or something. Anyway, went into Paris quite often together. I remember, as I say, that I was all set. I didn't want an American girl to come over and see me, or to be in that outfit. Had it running pretty well to suit me. But, anyway, I married her after we'd been known her about 8 months there. We were in the same house with her. And the same staff. And this town of Chateau was next to the cemetery of the Marne. And that was where the Germans were stopped in the First World War. So Chateau Thierry was the place that a great many Americans stopped when they were in France. Go out to the Marne, see the cemetery. So I was quite often there. Companion on these trips. I had the Methodist Memorial where I worked. It wasn't a missionary outfit at all, but had that connection with the Methodist Church. And they had a car, and I drove the car, and I would meet the trains. teased me. And after my year was done, it's been Methodist Memorial. And my wife by that time was enough months ago. I just boarded there for the use their car to meet folks and take them out to Fellowood. Yeah, Fellowood. And then we swing around and I can persuade them that, I would show them a sudden little white storm up on a hillside. Tell them that was where Quentin Roosevelt was buried. But we couldn't go over there because we couldn't get to it early. Of course, he wasn't there, except in my imagination. Then we go on to Rance and see the wine cellars.
So you just kind of gave these people a little tour of the place.
Yeah. And
you're kind of a tour guide.
Tour guide that, and if I was a good enough salesman, I would be able to make it into a day.
And you get tips too.
Oh yeah, tips.
Plus your salary.
Yeah.
You had a pretty good job.
Yeah, I had a pretty good job. And, I met some nice people on these trips. And I had to make up stories about how I happened to be spoke such good English, but here I was.
You passed yourself off as a Frenchman?
Frenchman, yeah. I remember telling one group of people that during the war, my father was attached to United States Regiment as a blacksmith, and I went along, so I learned my English from the American Doughboy.
All fiction. It was all fiction.
Yes, I said, lady, this is to my passenger in the car. And my lady, I know my English isn't as good as it should be. I learned a lot of words from these Americans of shit. I did, you know, God damn it. You'll have to forgive me.
You don't know what they mean. So you got a good imagination going there.
Oh, I had the meaning out of my head.
So when you got done, when your wife Vera finished her little stint there, what'd you guys do then? Came back here or what?
No, we spent her money and my money. We had saved a couple $100 between us, I guess, or maybe three. And traveling was cheap, and we spent 2 or 3 weeks going through southern France and corner of Switzerland, into Italy, Venice, down to Naples. When we got to Naples, I wanted to go out to some island. What were they? What was the island to make a day's trip out of Naples? But I couldn't afford to do it. We didn't have the money to spend. So we were able to board our ship for home a day early, and then I did have enough money to get into a, not a craft game. I tried to teach these Frenchmen craft, but an Italian, but the money changed hands too fast, they couldn't understand it.
You probably kept winning.
Well, I'd win, and they didn't understand how I did it. And, so I ended up by playing 21 with them.
They could understand that.
They could understand
that. They could add and subtract pretty good.
They could add and subtract. And, so while Vera was stayed in her cabin, maybe she was pregnant. I don't know. She's pregnant. Possibly that was her first pregnancy. The baby came in due time.
It got turned into dog food or glue.
Well, you were telling me, I don't know how much of that I missed there. You were telling me that she was, you got, I think we probably, let's start when you got back here and you had a busy load and your wife was pregnant and you're taking so many hours at Boyd College. And
well, that was a busy year. I had to make up to 16 hours of incompletes at Northwestern.
Because how come you got all those incompletes?
Because I left Northwestern about to go to France.
Oh, without finishing the term?
That's right.
Let's see.
I'd have to take an examination down there and or take field trip or something that I'd missed to get my credits. And I needed the credits to get out.
So you went back to Boyd College?
That's what they did.
So,
well, I'd left.
You had a good year there then, did you?
I'd left Northwestern, unmarried young guy, and no particular plans for the future, and I came back to a wife, and anxious to finish school, and so forth. So my father. My job was all ready for me on the farm, and I didn't have anything else that I'd rather do. And it turned out that I had a pretty good time doing it.
So where'd you live then? When you went to Boyd College, and you lived where?
Well, Aunt Ida. Across from Strong School, 900 block on Bushland Street. Now that Strong School has been long gone.
Yeah, okay, that was the one they tore down. It was on.